Hey SEOs and content marketers, say goodbye to crazy spreadsheet mashups and experience unprecedented connectivity between your SEO planning and reporting data. Introducing Audience Key, technology for keyword mapping, content brief automation, and rank tracking that form an SEO strategy system providing unparalleled feedback loops between planning, reporting, and optimization activities. Put your time and energy into strategy, not data upkeep. Visit audiencekey.com and apply for a free trial today.
Hey everyone, welcome to WebCulture on WMR.fm. It is the 28th of March, 2024. The first quarter of 2024 is, virtually behind us now. It's over. You're deep into springtime and well on our way to 2025. Incidentally, we're going to start reminding you that it's never too late to think about Christmas season 2024. It's coming just after election season 2024, which brings me to something I think I want to talk about really quickly before the beginning of the show. Before I get to that, this is Jim Hedger from Digital Always Media and Christine Schackinger from Sites Without Walls. And you're listening to a show recorded live to a podcast on the, 28th of March, 2024. And it's a weird time. It's a really weird time for people in the search industry and for people just in general in North America, in the West, and in around the world. Things are looking incredibly bleak, economically, environmentally. They're looking bleak for peace. They're looking bleak for supply chain, for jobs. We have momentous change sweeping across our industry and across our societies right now. And if you aren't feeling freaked out or feeling the pinch, feeling a bit put behind towards the end of every month or billing cycle, or worried about the survival of your business, then you, my friend, are a rarity, because most people are feeling pretty messed up right now. I'm having significant problems in my emotional life and in my in trying to keep it together and professional in my work life. I'm a member of several SEO support groups in social media. And I see that a number of us out there are having difficult and rough times. This isn't a plea for help personally. I mostly got it together, although I'm telling you, a lot of it's an act and I'm really, really, really faking it to make it. But so are the rest of you. And none of us are alone. That's the thing I wanted to get across. If you're feeling messed up right now, yeah. Lots of us are feeling really messed up right now. Talk to your friends. Talk to your colleagues. This has been an industry that has supported each other. And this is an industry that desperately wishes it made the catch when it should have. And reach out to your friends, to other people who really, really, really want to support you. It's okay to talk about feeling messed up. It's good to talk about feeling messed up. And if more of us did it, I think more of us would be there to support each other. Also, if somebody comes to you talking about feeling messed up, give them 5 minutes. They'll probably feel better afterwards, and so will you. And you know what'll make us all feel better? At least a lot of us, me especially. It's opening day today. Major League Baseball starts today, for real. They've been playing in the Grapefruit League for the last couple of months, but actual baseball, the geekiest game in the world. 2024 season opens today. Blue Jays versus Devil Rays. Go Jays, go. Hey, Christine, how you doing? Thank you for indulging me.
No problem. I know a lot of people are struggling right now with different reasons and different things, and it's always important to be able to talk about it so that you don't wall it off inside yourself and dive down those darker holes. So
it's been a time, and again with change hanging over our heads, many of us don't know how our businesses are going to react to change that we know is coming. And it, I mean, it's the weirdest thing. You know, this freight train is coming. You feel its rumblings on the track. You hear it around the corner. You hear it just over the hill. You even vaguely know what it's going to look like, kind of. And you know it's big. And you know it's unstoppable. But it's just not quite in sight. And it's just around the corner. And the rumblings are huge. And I think this is driving a lot of people crazy. There's, how to say this? Last year at Google I.O., Google introduced SGE, Search Generative Experience, into the test stream. And there's rumor that they're about to release SGE into the live stream, into Google Search. Whether that will or will not happen, we don't know. Whether that'll happen after Google I.O. Coming up at the end of May, we don't know. What it will look like and how users will behave once they start using it, we don't know. There's a number of amazing studies out there. There's a couple of great studies that have just been released in a couple of days on how to react to SGE. And there's some really good advice in there, which is just generally good advice if you got a website. Make one of the first pieces of advice in reacting to the emergence of SGE, make a technically good, proficient website so it's completely indexable and can be completely read from A to B to C to Z, which is something you'd probably tell people to do pretty much any time anyway. So what I guess I'm trying to say is a lot of the advice that's out there about how to react to SGE, you know, read it, read through it thoroughly. Familiar, again, a lot of it's just good webmastering. And there's some stuff out there that is, shall we say, a little to a lot on the speculative side. Sometimes a lot on the speculative side. And
yeah,
that's me being Canadian and very polite, using the word speculative.
No, it is all speculative right now, though, because we don't know how they'll launch it. We're all in test groups. My SGE changes on the daily. Sometimes it's a closed box. Sometimes it's a closed box with text. Sometimes it's half open box. Sometimes it's a fully open box. And the design changes all the time, too. So right now, like you said, read them for basic information, but don't start doing major changes to your site based on what you're reading. Because first of all, we don't even know how Google runs its SGE. We know it's not a true language model like Bing uses. Bing has told us how they do theirs with grounding in Orchestra and Prometheus for the large language model to be more relevant and less inaccurate. But Google won't tell us how it runs the SGE, so we don't even know what we're really looking at. And there's a lot of indications it's not a pure large language model. So I think we'll need to wait until it rolls out and we see what it really does, and people can really test on it too. So right now you can't even really test on it.
There was one piece of advice that I really liked. It might seem so basic, that it makes so much sense. No matter how Google rolls out SGE, no matter what, we know that AI influenced anything takes a crap ton of resources.
Yes,
it takes a lot of electricity to run AI. It takes a lot of processing power to run AI. Imagine having to reckon everything you've ever thought before having to make a statement. Every time you make a statement, it takes a lot of power, processing power, to do that. So as one might imagine, Google doesn't want to read something insanely complicated. And by read it, I mean unpack. So if everything is, if all of your content is contained only in JavaScripts that have to be unpacked every time the page unloads so the content can be read, there's a chance that SGE and its it doesn't want to process that stuff. It doesn't want to read that stuff because it's already using craptastic amounts, insane amounts of energy and resources just to do its processes. This is where response HTML, render HTML becomes a fairly important thing. Make sure that you're feeding in the response state as much information as you can without having to unpack it from being contained in JavaScripts. And that's pretty much good advice at the best of time, with or without thinking about influencing AI. But it makes a lot of sense thinking about getting yourself into and read by an AI
Well,
bot.
but also let's remember, large language models do not information retrieve. So they're not doing what Google does, where you type in a query, query pulls a bunch of documents together, Google
Oh,
quickly pops
indeed.
forward. No, I just want to for our people. So, because I see a lot of people misusing it that way. So, we don't know exactly how Google does it, and there's a lot to indicate Google is not strictly a large language model. One, because as Jim said, it'd be cost prohibitive. It'd be beyond what Google could
Insane.
afford. Yeah, remember the story we covered last year? It cost Google 1,000 times more per query, and even if that's a penny, that's 1,000 pennies more per query, and they do trillions of queries a year. So that's a lot of freaking money.
You know
This
what
is
a thousand
Google's.
pennies is? That's $10.
Yeah.
Could you
We can do it
imagine
every
ten
day.
bucks? Could you imagine having PPC ads at $10 a click?
Right. And not only that, but for every query. So there's trillions of, right? Trillion, couple trillion
Okay,
queries a year, I
so
think.
Google isn't processing trillions of queries at $10 a click. It's just
Exactly.
we know they're just not going to do that.
No, they're
There's not
not.
enough money in the world to do that.
No, and they have to report to the street and make a profit. So they're definitely not doing that. And we other things that show us they're not using a straight LLM, unlike Bing, which uses other processes to make them better, but does use ChatGPT or their version of it now, is that we'll see direct text regularly quoted in the SGE result from a website. And that's not how LLMs work. They don't go to a website, pull back the text, and then reproduce that text. They create predictive sentences based on their training. So when we see patterns like that, where there's a lot of regular text that's been copied in, and we know how expensive it is, we can say Google is probably not doing a straight LLM. They're probably using things where they already have the information, like featured snippets, and rewriting those with the LLM into the featured snippet. Like maybe they take 10 of them, or maybe they take, 20 websites and they take their information. We don't know. But we do know that they're not doing straight LLMs because straight LLMs just don't behave that way.
One thing I said last week that I want to put a little caveat on was I said that I didn't think Google was going to go ahead and introduce a pure SEO experience into its core search product because where the heck do the ads go? And given that ads are the bread, butter, knife, fork, and spoon of Google's revenue streams, what are you going to do? Cut your nose off? I'm sorry, cut your entire head off to spite your face. I don't see that happening. But then it occurred to me, believe it or not, I was washing dishes the other day. And you can think while you're washing dishes. Most people don't do that anymore, but you can think while you're washing dishes. And it occurred to me, Google went 3 or 4 years without a revenue stream, and they were just fine, knowing that they were making themselves the dominant player in an industry with a lot of competition. In the beginning, before AdWords,
Well,
Google didn't have much of a
yeah,
revenue
that's not,
stream. How long can
that's
Google go without a revenue stream, without
zero.
a solid revenue stream versus Microsoft, versus DuckDuckGo, versus
Zero.
Baidu, versus whomever?
Zero. They can go zero without it because they have to report to the street. And it's a requirement that they make money for the stockholders. So, unfortunately, we have that rule. We
It's
shouldn't
a
have that rule.
require that it's a requirement they maximize value for the
No,
shareholders.
that the value comes straight from revenue, and they do still do 85% of all revenue for Alphabet
Well,
is by ads. So I don't think they can go without a revenue stream. That's what kills innovation nowadays anyway, because they have to constantly produce more money instead of taking time out to like build product and maybe not have revenue, like Amazon in the early days or Google in the early days where they didn't have any profit. But now that's a little bit, it's a little different world where Google's at now.
Well,
So I, but we do know they did roll out one of our things to cover today. We might as well put it out there. They did roll out SGE to people that are not in labs that did not sign up for SGE, but only a very small percentage and only a very certain types of searches. So if you're getting SGE and you're like, what is SGE? Well, you suddenly have a box at the top that's either like peachy or pinky or purple or blue. And it'll either be fully expanded, partially expanded, or not expanded at all. And I'll have you click on it and it writes all this text. And that is the Google SGE result, search generated experience.
So yeah, this is likely going to introduce the greatest change in labor practices and, well, really labor availability, job availability since the Industrial Revolution, according to Larry Summers, AI offers the prospect of not just replacing some forms of human labor, but almost all forms of human labor. So, what does that mean? I mean, like, if AI can take, and then endless jobs, I mean, and all that sort of stuff, that's going to be left up to economists and up to behaviorists and such. But we're on the precipice of changes that are so staggering and sweeping, it's almost impossible to predict where it's going to be.
Yeah, I said Sumner said AI will eventually be able to do the, just about the job, do just about every type of human job, specifically impacting cognitive labor, which if you're a white collar person is technically almost all the cognitive labor. Something that will be said will make emotional intelligence important in this new age of pending joblessness. Now, granted, Larry Summer is not the best human being on the planet, once asked that we increase pollution, but still, Sam Altman said the same thing. Sam Altman runs OpenAI, so we do have to take it seriously because he's
Not
not the
that Sam
board
Altman is
member.
the best person in the world either.
No, but he has the capability of making it happen. And since Sam, you could say, well, Sumner, like, well, okay, Sumner, I'm sorry, not Sumner. He just said what he said, but Altman backed it up last year in an interview with The Atlantic.
Well,
Now, of
again,
course, you and I both know there's a lot between what they said and actually happening. Things like, taxes, people have to. Be able to pay for food, and governments aren't going to have any money if they don't have taxes from people who are laboring. So I don't know that it's going to come out and replace all labor, but it is very possible that there are entire job sectors that could go away very quickly. And
and a study that was done by the Wall Street Journal and released in the Wall Street Journal last week, 47% of American white collar managers said they plan to replace labor with AI in the next year. Now, that doesn't necessarily mean that 47% of white collar managers in the United States understand how AI works. It just means they intend to use AI to replace their labor forces. Whether they'll be able to or not is another question. But the will to cut out vast sections of people from the economy, it's there. They don't care. See, for the workers, the coders, the SEOs, the doctors, the hands-on lawyers, this technology seems like a job killer. For the people who make the technology, for Sam Altman, for that ilk, this technology is radical advancement. So, depends which side of the fence you sit on. I know
Well,
which side of the fence is probably going to win in the end, and I would brush up on people's emotional intelligence as much as possible, fast, and start lobbying your politicians for guaranteed annual incomes.
yeah, because even the International Monetary Fund said 40% of jobs around the world are exposed to AI replacement. And it's higher in advanced economies. So people are used to the labor jobs being like the car worker or the farmer or something like that being replaced by technology. So they don't usually give it a lot of consideration. But we're talking about people who go to college or in tech and have been doing it for 20 years and have a lot of experience and cognitive knowledge. And that's what AI can replace, because it can't replace the plumber. Not yet anyways, maybe 20, 30, 40 years, but not yet. But
Oh, I would
it
expect
can.
that much, much faster than 20 or 30 or 40 years from now. Much,
I
much
know
faster.
we have a bet in 10 years about the plumber, but that's a whole other thing. But I would just say to people, don't freak out, but do start paying attention to, is your job one of the ones that they could? Because as a sociologist by education, this is where capitalism eats itself, which is theory and prediction by Karl Marx, that eventually it would eat itself and then we would have to be socialists because we'd have no choice. And if you're going to, and the reason that companies are so excited by this is AI isn't going to cost them any money for vacations or days off, or, and it's faster and it's more productive. I mean, who cares if it does a lot of wrong stuff or bad stuff, but that's another point. But it does replace those people. And that means at some point, then the state has to take care of the people, because the people won't be able to take care of themselves because they won't have the jobs to do it. So just an interesting thing.
Okay, so moving along.
Maybe not long.
Use of Twitter in the United States has slumped by more than one-fifth since the takeover of Elon Musk a year and a half ago, and since he branded it X, according to an app monitoring company called Sensor Tower. As of February of this year, the social network's daily app usage in America has fallen by 23%. And that's again since November 2022, when Musk completed his takeover. Now, every other major social network experienced a reduction in the same period, but nowhere near what
Not very
X's drop
small.
in numbers has been. TikTok has fallen by about 10%, Facebook 5%, Instagram and Snapchat 5% or so. But X, Twixter, 23%, fallen by between not by more than a fifth. A fifth is 20%. This is more like a quarter. Quarter to tw closer to 25%, not a
Yes.
fifth.
I wish it didn't make me a little happy, but it makes me a little happy.
Well, I don't under I mean, I honestly, I stopped using Twitter a long time ago
I
before
thought
Musk
you
took it over because it was really became just such an awful mean environment. And I don't understand people using Twitter today. It's
did. I use
Nazi
it.
adjacent. It's I know, but it's Nazi adjacent. I just don't understand that.
Well, I don't. I'm very aware of that. I'm very cognizant of that's a horrible thing. And but I do have reasons for
Oh, I
using
know.
it that
I'm
are like research and things like that, and keeping up with things in the industry. So, but you're right. It's a horrible. So I'm not hurt that it's down 25%. I hope it keeps falling and he is forced to sell it. At least hopefully someone good will pick it up. But
instead, he's trying to lure users back with a number of
free tools.
discounts or free stuff.
Free. Free stuff.
So he posted on this his platform Thursday, going forward, all X accounts with over 2,500 verified subscriber followers will get premium features for free, and accounts with over 5,000 will get premium plus features for free. Now, this is what,
So
sorry.
go ahead, go ahead, go ahead, go ahead.
Well, premium stuff used to cost you a whole $8 a month. It allows you to share longer posts and do video uploads, have reply prioritization, and see fewer advertisements in your timeline. Premium Plus users have all the features of premium with no adverts, and as well as access to Grok, the generative artificial intelligence chatbot.
Whether they're two Groks, there's actually an AI company with a thing called Grok. So this is just the Twitter one, not the same thing. So interestingly enough, I'm in community notes, which means I can see the notes people put on things when they say things that are not correct. So interestingly, he said subscribers, not followers. And someone did a look, and there's only eight accounts with over 5,000 subscribers, and I think there's 20 total with over 2,500 subscribers.
So he's not
So
actually giving anything away.
unless he didn't say it correctly, because he does misspeak quite frequently about his own platform. So it'll be interesting to see if he's giving it to people with over 2,500 followers and just said it wrong, or if he's just giving it to 20 people on Twitter because they're the only ones with that many subscribers. So it's just kind of funny. It's a funny
That
thing.
is weird.
Yeah. So anyway, but so these folks are giving these away for free. I guess the subscribe thing hasn't helped him much.
So here's one for the SEO on the go. I know I would really appreciate this. I spend a lot of time in different parts of my city. So I do a lot of my business off my mobile phone. And I am obsessive about I'm really weird. I like you know how like when you see yesterday's data in Search Console, you only see like partial data until sometime like late in the day when you finally see the fresh data, which is
Yes.
awfully close to how it's going to settle. I don't know why, but that's my obsessive dopamine hit during the day. I refresh
I get
on.
that. I'm there
Okay,
when I'm
so
recovering sites. I'm like, do I get a hockey stick yet?
okay,
You don't know what a
so.
hockey stick is. I've never had one. It's the best thing in search ever. It means you went from like 10% traffic to like 90% new traffic.
So naturally, I'm checking Search Console on my mobile device fairly frequently, and I'm doing this out in the wild, where I am literally burning minutes, which in Canada can be a very expensive proposition. I woke up this morning to understand that when I went to sleep last night, I understood that Google was not working on a Android app or any apps for cell phones for mobile devices or for Search Console. They were not going to do anything in mobile, no apps at all. Apparently, as it turns out, they are testing an Android app. Yay, Google. Thank you.
Yay.
It'll
I
make it
don't hate it.
faster, easier to
Yeah.
check, and more importantly, it'll eat less bandwidth.
I do. I don't hate that the browser version in mobile because it scrunches up my graph and then I can show like to the client like big highs and lows real easily. But I am glad that there'll be an app. So,
Well, yeah,
and
I mean,
70% of SEOs wanted an app. So.
yeah, you'll still be on the small screen. You'll still get little scrunchy data points, but
Question.
you'll get scrunchy data points for far less bandwidth.
So,
So
don't have
yay.
to worry about that here, but definitely for people in other countries.
So Google, new and improved with 90% more suspended ads. Go okay, I'm not sure where this what the story is exactly about, but it's on our feed. So Google suspends 90% more advertisers this year, removing 5.5 billion ads. This is their ad safety report. Now, there's some stuff that you are not allowed to advertise in across Google. Guns, you can't advertise guns. Hate, you can't advertise hate. You could write about
Marijuana.
guns. Marijuana is federally illegal, remains illegal federally. You cannot advertise marijuana. And Google, that actually would probably, because Google crosses state lines, be a actual real crime.
So interesting. 5.5 billion ads were suspended. Like, did you
Yeah.
know they did that many ads? That is only 6% of ads run. What? That means that 90 times 5 billion, so it's 450 billion, half a trillion ads are run every year.
Yeah. You know what? I have a client in I'm not going to say the space that it's in.
All
It's
right.
not an illegal activity at all, but it is a restricted product according to Google Ads. And it's not adult. It's in recreational products actually. But it's again, it's a restricted product. They
Lawn
tried to
darts.
kinda with a lot more propulsion. They tried to advertise them in using Google Ads. They were warned a couple of times, and then the hammer fell. And a Google hammer falls hard. I'm telling you, a Google hammer
Yes.
falls very hard when it falls. So when you get suspended from Google Ads, you feel that through the entire Google ecosystem.
Yes, this is true.
Even organic, and there's not a direct AB connection between Google Ads and Google Organic. There is no direct AB connection. You cannot draw it. But if you get a really bad dark mark in your paid advertising, that honestly goodness affects you in the entire ecosystem. The effect does wear off. I promise you that. So if you were one of those people whose ads were removed, figure out why. Smarten up. Check your languaging. Check out, be really careful about what you're posting as an ad, and you can probably get your profile back, and it might even take up to a year or more, but you can work it back again.
Well, at least they're trying to keep us safe. I would never have thought there was 5.5 billion ads and 12.7 million advertiser accounts.
Oh, but
At
like
all.
just volume. I mean, good. Like when people think of the scale Google works at. It's really hard to comprehend.
That's what I always tell people about organic too. When you have a theory, the first thing you have to ask yourself is, could they reproduce this over billions of index pages
Yeah.
over trillions of queries in an instant to pull back the information into search.
And
And your
even
answer
with
is no.
pre-caching,
Yeah. Your information is probably not, then it's probably not a theory. It's Google's probably not doing it. Yeah. That's crazy.
Okay, we are running shy on time. So we got a couple more stories. Where do you want to go next?
Well, this is just a real quick one. people that the TikTok. TikTok, it needs not to be called a ban. It's not a TikTok ban. It would be forced divestiture of 25%, 20% of TikTok by ByteDance, which is a Chinese-owned company. Yes, we won't get into the reasons today. There are legitimate security reasons that people are nervous about it. But TikTok is now going on full-on assault, and they bought 2.1 million television in television ads to get people to tell their senators to not pass the bill. So that starts this week. So you see TikTok ads with owners saying how much money they make from TikTok. That's being run by TikTok itself.
This is a weird one. I don't understand the Solomon Compromise, the King Solomon Compromise of saying, well, we can't get you sell the whole damn thing. How about we just get you sell a quarter of
Well, no, that's all
it?
that ByteDance owns of TikTok. ByteDance has a 20% investment.
Oh, I see.
So,
Okay. I thought, I thought.
Yeah, so they just wanted to divest that to a U.S. company. And come on, I mean, because on TikTok, they got the TikTok own CEO got on there and got everyone riled up that they're going to ban it. And I was like, well, I mean, what is the chances TikTok does not get purchased? 20% shares don't get purchased. Literally none if they force them to sell it. It's not like TikTok's going to get closed. No one's going to close on TikTok. It's too valuable. It's too valuable a property, especially with younger people, which is a really hard market and where all the money in advertising tends to go. So I don't worry if you have TikTok that they're going to, even if they pass this law, it's not going to get banned. Someone's just going to pick it up, buy it. And it can be anyone in the world that's from a, democratic
Anyone
nation
in
that
the world, as
doesn't
long as
want
it's
to
from our
invade.
part of the world.
Yes, basically. And who doesn't want to invade Taiwan? So I think we could do like one or two just regular stories and then just do the fast stories real quick.
No, one or two more stories and we got to get going. Honest to goodness, like time is tight.
Well, you tell me where you want to go then.
Google is able to search for your blockchain wallet address and tell you what you got in the bank. Just search for it. If you are on an EVM network, including Arboretum, Phantom Foundation, Optimism, Polygon, or Avalanche, Google wants you to know that they're interested in what's in your wallet.
And it shows up as a rich snippet in Google search because the data on the blockchain is public. So if you put in your address, it's publicly available, and they're now bringing you back in a rich snippet at the top of the page. Something else talk about real quick is if I can figure out where the story went. I was just on it. It was about the fact that if you are using ChatGPT to code or any AI to code, be aware that
Oh, don't
hackers
do
are
that.
now what?
Oh, be aware that what's happening? That, huh?
Hackers are attaching, so they're using generative AI to make a software package, and then it looks like the real software package because and it's code, but the code that you're getting and getting with it has malware, and it's not real. And if you're not a coder, you have no way of knowing it's not real. That's why I tell people don't code, don't use this stuff to make
Okay,
code.
so is this stuff that you might be downloading from GitHub?
GitHub is definitely one of them. It's not the only place, though. But yeah, there was a big attack on GitHub, but this is just in general. So they're using the generative AI to make code, to make it look like it's valid code. And then in the background, they run malware with it. Now there's two types of attacks. There's they use like an injection attack, or they, I can't remember what the other one is. Sorry, I'm
Okay,
just
so
scrolling, but.
this is a hard one for me because I mean, like developers mix and match code, they swap code back and forth in forums. They have again repositories like GitHub that's full of code that does this, that, and whatnot. How do people protect themselves?
One, no code. Two, know that you're getting code from good, established developers, and then still check it. You got to check it because there's really no other way to know because they're attaching this code also to known branches in GitHub. But it's not just GitHub. They're basically using the generative AI to create malware, but on the surface, it looks like it's appropriate, like regular code software packages.
So here's the next question. And I don't expect Christine, I don't expect that if you do have an answer for this, it'd be extraordinary, but I don't naturally don't expect that you would, but I think people should think about this. if people are making code, generative code that has malware attached to it, and putting it into repositories that ChatGPT trains on, is it possible that ChatGPT will pick up the malware and start propagating it itself?
That's a good question because they do train on it, wouldn't propagate it into itself as far as like hack the model, although there are ways to do that. But
But if this
would
is a
it,
suggested method to solve that problem, and if this block of code solves that problem, why not give it as an answer? How the heck does ChatGPT know?
Well, ChatGPT would give it as an answer. Yes, that's very possible. So they would train on the bad code and give the bad code out, and that's why I see many people, and that's why I brought up this story too. That many people in our industry who don't know anything about coding have been posting that they're coding apps or coding things, and they're using ChatGPT to do it. And I know these people have no code experience, and you do not want to do that normally, but right now you definitely don't want to do that because let's say you create a tool for other SEOs with your ChatGPT code, and downloaded with it is malware. Well, you have now created an app and are legally responsible for what you created. Because you published it.
And
Yeah, and if you, even if you're yourself an app, but...
just to be clear on this legally responsible thing, if you're not a billionaire, there is actually repercussions.
Yes, exactly. If you're creating code, if you use it for yourself, that's one thing, as long as it doesn't get into some other system. But if you're publishing it or giving it out to people to use and someone gets hacked, then you can be legally responsible for that. And if it gets into somebody's, let's say it's on their phone and it gets into their bank app or gets into their system, this is malware that's being downloaded with this. So the intent is to attack whatever it's downloaded on.
And so, that standard $2 million policy that y'all have as a business insurance? Imagine that being wasted in the first 25 seconds.
Yeah, good. Yeah, and please, that's just please, if you do not know how to code, do not code with ChatGPT because you don't know what you're actually getting into, unless you're just doing straight HTML and CSS. That's different. So yeah,
Well,
no,
yeah,
that's
because then
good.
you can read that and see what it is.
Well, and also there's very, I mean, you can use it to hack, but it's like got to be pretty intentional. I don't think ChatGPT is rolling that out. So we do have, I think, one more thing we should mention before we go, and that is just the new travel AI stuff that everyone's got coming down the road. It was
Yeah.
talked about on Twitter this week. So
What's
Google, go ahead.
Blum, please go for it. What's up with the new travel AI stuff?
So Google has a bunch of new, not just travel, but they also specifically talked about travel this week. But they have AI. Well, no, I'm sorry. These are AI, all AI travel tools. So basically, Gemini, the proprietary AI that Google uses, just like Microsoft uses Copilot, has integrated into Search, Maps, and Lens to give users more options and abilities when they're planning vacation. So they're using it to do like plan me a 3-day trip to Philadelphia. It's all about history and it'll write it up for you. Or
Everything
it'll
from the
give you.
Liberty Bell to a place in the first Congress where you can have supper.
Yeah. And then they're going to also do like a list of attractions, which Bing already does. It's going to also do things like style recommendations. So I'm going to South Africa. I've never been there. Tell me what I should be wearing.
Okay,
They're also
so
good. Go
basically Google will take everything from your transportation, your accommodation, your meal prep, your daily itinerary, and what you should wear. And
and
it'll give it
also,
all to you in one big package.
yes, and it will translate PDF menus, pull up reviews for locations, and decipher areas tourists have been visiting. So you can like point your camera at something and ask basic questions about it. Although I'll be honest, I have not found Google Lens to be all that helpful. I've used it quite a bit. And I don't use it anymore because it just wants to ring back or something for me to
Well,
purchase.
you know what I'm hearing you saying? And
What?
you don't even mean to be saying this. You're saying, without meaning to saying this, and I'm sure it's going to gall you, dear niche site owner, learn to flip
Well,
burgers. Because that's what Google's saying here, right? Straight up. If they've
maybe.
taken the entire experience on travel from A to B to Z and wrapped it all in some googly space. And if you're trying to get in that space and make money on your own website, your chances of competing with Google are real slim.
Well, but remember, these are in apps, like it's like in Maps, it's like in Lens, it's in Search. So So some of this goes to search, some would be in maps, some would be in. So it's not like a coherent experience where you go to Google Travel and you get all this in one place. So they could change that. Also, this is what TripAdvisor does, right? This is what TripAdvisor does. I don't know though that I care about an AI telling me what style to wear or what to eat. I think I want to go to the sites and read what people said. So we'll
Again,
see. We'll
maybe you
see.
do, maybe you don't. We'll see what happens. But when SGE comes into into search engines and becomes the norm, when you don't have to go look at four or five websites where Google will just summarize what it thinks the most salient points from those five or six websites are, the way people look at search and use search engines is going to change irrevocably. There's just no question about that.
Definitely possible. I will say there was a Harvard study. This is not on our sheet, so you don't know this one. It came out today about using large language models, and they and businesses like not just everybody, but businesses only 5% of people regularly use them. So the AI revolution, according to the people that run the companies like OpenAI, are saying they're going to have to do a lot of educating people to get them to use this. So I don't know. I mean, like I said, I tried Lens. And it didn't doesn't do much for me. It always wants to sell me a product, and I'm not there to get a product. Like I'm trying to find. It's like, it's Lens will say you can point it at a building, it'll tell you the history, but I do that, and it's like here's the five things you could buy, and I'm like, but I wasn't looking for buying. I was looking for information. So we'll
Well,
see if it lives up to the promise of being and doing the things that it says it does or it doesn't.
all these things change and evolve mostly based on how users react to them. So we'll see. Users will honestly make the choice on how the environment they work in, make a choice to a point on how the environments that they're getting information from and training through their own behaviors.
I did see people in the industry say that the reason Google hit all these niche sites is because they're clearing the way for this stuff. First of all, they don't have to clear the way because they dominate the search result and the map, so they
Indeed.
can put it in there. Also, all the sites I looked at that were hit, you said that they were hit because of some Google nefarious plan, all have serious issues that I've seen so
Yeah,
far.
there's a,
So, yeah.
I mean, I don't want to be mean to the people running the niche sites. I don't want to be awful to people who've gotten hit by Google. My heart literally goes out to them because this is how they're putting bread on the table for for their families, and that's important to me. But Google isn't doing this for the Google isn't getting rid of websites so it can move into a space. Google's already moved into the space. It's already done that. That's just happened already.
Yeah, I'd say they've done it for years. Also gotten legal trouble for it too.
You and others, me, we've been able to participate in certain spaces. Doesn't the latitude we had as webmasters 15, 20 years ago is was far greater than the latitude we have as webmasters today. This has been going on, as Christine said, for a very long time. They've been slowly encroaching on different spaces. It's almost like the frog in the boiling water analogy. You don't notice it until the water's bloody boiling, but the heat's been getting turned up regularly and steadily as we've been going along.
That's true. And I would say that I don't use Google like booking flights or stuff, right? Online, right? A lot of people do, but I go to Orbitz because Orbitz offers me things like free cancellations, no down payment on a room, points that get applied to my future reservation. So if you're in the travel space, just make sure that you're offering something that would want users want to come to, because all they're going to get from Google is generic something or other.
The important thing was something I was thinking of when Christine was talking about her use of a specific website is the relationship she's developed with that website.
Yes.
You
Yeah.
travel a lot. Your job demands that you travel frequently. And so this is something you trust, and it goes back to something I guess almost like been a theme through the show. Would you give this website your credit card information? Are you comfortable enough with it? Has it created a bond with you in a way? And when Google's talking about making good, helpful content, that's a big component in what they're saying. Have you created a space that is safe and useful and appears to be highly, highly, highly credible? So much so that you're seen to be trying to make it credible. That's helpful. And that and more. But just
This is
regurgitating information is not helpful.
no, this is very true. And if you have, by the way, if you do have an affiliate site or a niche site that was slammed in this algorithm, and you've done all, you thought you did all the right things, like you did good content, you did photos, and you did a video. I see this a lot. Do you have SEO? If you feel like pay them like a few hundred dollars, just take a look. Because I am seeing issues with these sites that people have been posting about. I don't have any conclusions yet, so I'm not going to say them, but that are in template design and what they put on the pages and how they put things on the pages, things like that. And so don't assume automatically that Google was just out to get you, because that's probably not what's going on. They are out to remove sites they don't think are conducive to what Google produces. Remember, Google's product is what it produces in the search results, not the search results themselves or the sites they pull back. So if you have great content and great video and great photos, but you have a site design that is not conducive to a user finding any of that or Google crawling
Well,
any of
yeah,
that,
indeed, right?
then you're going to get hit with these kind of algorithm updates. And if you immediately go to Google's being nefarious, they're wiping out the space because now they're going to have all these travel tools, you won't go looking for the thing that's really holding your site down. And I guarantee in 99% of the cases, it is not that.
And last word on this exact point, you gotta understand, you've done all the right things for Google. Sure, you've done all the right things. Yeah, but, we all do all the right things, but you gotta understand who your users are. And one of those users, a big, but half the users are real live humans. The other half is Google, Bing, Yandex,
Ooh, I like that.
Baidu, DuckDuckGo, etc.
Bing.
And that ratio is going to change over time. If SGE is the freight train that we think it is, then you are going to lose live human traffic. Not all of it, but some of it. I don't know how much. So the website will still be there to train the language models or the search generative experience, the generative search experience, whatever it is, however AI search works out to be. The website will still exist, and it'll exist to inform the AI that's creating the search summary space of information, however that turns out. The bots will become a bigger part of your audience than the live humans will. So remember, you've got, remember who you're making your website for. Tight, fast, informative,
For
and falling
users
into
and
standards for users and for bots.
Google. And for
Yeah.
Google. Yeah.
And
Whenever
there's
Google
ten.
tells you, I like that though, Jim. I'm sorry to interrupt. I just to say, I will forget. I like what you just said though. Google is one of your users. So when Google says make sites for users and they always ignore also Google, just assume when they say make a site for users, Google is in the user base.
Yeah, they're just too embarrassed to say that means
Oh,
me. Because they're like, they're all shucks.
shucks. Can I make one point though that I just find interesting? We don't know how it's going to go. But remember when Google came on the market, we're both old enough to know, like there was Yahoo. And Yahoo is like, and Yahoo Search may be coming back, but we don't know anything about it yet. But Yahoo Search had developed a basically a portal interface. It wasn't just a search engine, it was a portal, right? Remember it was a portal? How it was a portal? So Google is becoming a portal interface, which just have to see how that goes, because it's funny that Google overtook Yahoo by being simple and easy and having 10 blue links, and now they're becoming this massive portal space.
Google's gone back and forth on being a portal. They've had sort of like
Yeah, but they're
slides that there was that Google Personal thing that was out, what, like 10 years ago? Delivered everything you're possibly interested in on your very first screen that you saw. Nobody uses that anymore.
Well, I'm just saying, I just find it interesting that when Google came out, it defeated Yahoo by being simple because Yahoo had become a cluttered portal, and now Google's becoming a cluttered portal. So we'll see how that goes as we go
Interestingly,
forward.
studies on that showed that the very simplistic design, the sparse design of Google's initial search interface, made people more thoughtful on their search queries. So
Oh, that's interesting.
they had better refined queries because they thought they had to, because there was nothing there except the text box and an I feel lucky button.
That makes a lot of sense. Also, the human brain generally can only retain about 7 pieces of information at a time. So when your page is very sparse, it's not trying to interpret and understand and figure out what it's supposed to do, because we all know that once users, that happens too, they tend to not be as, as wanting to move forward with whatever they're doing. So it is, that's a very interesting insight, because it makes a lot of sense that simplified would make it easier for people to do thoughtful searches. And when you're trying to present everything to people on one page, deciding you think you know where they want to go, that Bing might get some more searches.
Okay,
Okay.
so this is really important. 15 minutes from now, baseball starts.
I know, and for you, baseball is life.
Well, it's not life, but it's pretty damn important.
I know,
Baseball is
hockey is
almost
life.
everything.
Baseball's
That's right. Hockey's life. Baseball's just pretty damn important. Okay, we got to get out of here, not just because the baseball game's coming on, but because we've definitely gone over time. Want to give a big shout out to Audience Key, to our sponsor. If you are creating content for your site and you want to make it good, friends, if you're using AI and you want to edit it smart, I mean, I can't think of the number of ways Audience Key helps you understand how your content relates to who's looking at your page and what they're looking for. Check it out. Go to audiencekey.com and tell them who sent you. Give them lots of love from us. On behalf of Christine Schackinger from Sites Without Walls, this is Jim Hedger from Digital Always Media. You've been listening to Webecology, recorded live to podcast for WMR.FM on the 28th of March, 2024. Friends, be kind to each other. Rank well. Be good webmasters. Think about your site visitors. And we'll talk to you next week.
Bye, everybody. And I actually wave when I do that. Bye, guys.